so long, baby. But now you're fixing to drive me away from home.
Row House Cinema joins you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Row House Cinema is a single-screen theater in the historic Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh. Each week, they choose a new movie theme showing classic, cult, foreign animation, fun, and fascinating films. Their concession stand features natural popcorn with real butter, craft beer, and vegan options. Although the doors of the theater may be closed during the ongoing pandemic, Row House Cinema is still hosting many events online and in person when possible. Row House Cinema is located at 4115 Butler Street in Lawrenceville. For more information, go to rowhousecinema.com or call 412-904-3225.
Bye. USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Well, I hope everybody who celebrated had a good Thanksgiving. I will talk about mine on today's bonus show. Very, very compelling and exciting in different ways. We're going to hear from Pat about his trip to Colombia. No joke there. And so many other things. But if you paid attention at all to the news over the Thanksgiving holiday, you certainly must know by now that you must bow down to the Omicron COVID variant. Never leave your house again. Hide from this brutal, deadly variant, which will kill everyone and destroy the economy for... Well, hold on a second. Let's actually back up for a bit. Is it possible it will be that bad? Yes. At any point, we don't want to belittle the fact that the possibility that we could get an extremely deadly variant. But the story that has been more or less the corporate media story so far, starting on Friday, which, by the way, led to the worst day for stocks of the year as a result of the panic, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average down more than 2.5%, the Russell 2000 Index down nearly 4%. I mean, just a disastrous day for stocks on the basis of Omicron. What is the truth of it? The truth is, we don't really yet know almost anything about it that would lead us to say, this is it for being out of our houses. This is it for being able to sort of be living mildly more normal lives. This is it for the economy. We just, the corporate media panic, which affected the stock market, was very much ahead of itself. And we're going to talk about that. So first, let's talk about the coulds. Could the Omicron variant be more deadly than any other? Sure, it could. Could the Omicron variant be more transmissible? Sure, it could be. And that may be the one element of it that we are closest to knowing about at this point in time. It's possible that it's way more transmissible. Does the Omicron variant make the current vaccines useless? It's possible that that could be the case, but we do not know any of that right now. And the panic is serving no one well. Now, there are some in the audience who might say, well, the panic is good because it's getting people ready to lock down or whatever. I disagree. I don't think that the panic at this point, absent actual information, is doing anybody any good. So let's talk about what we actually know about the new variant. First question, is it let's actually look at the possibilities of what it could be and what we know. So Dr. Eric Topol tweeted over the weekend, important message from Dr. Lascelles, a leading South African infectious disease specialist. Now, Dr. Lascelles wrote, quote, just a note of caution. We know that getting a rapid understanding of disease severity with Omicron, particularly in vaccinated individuals and reinfections, is absolutely critical, but it's just too early for reliable data. Anecdotally, we're hearing from some in South Africa that Omicron variant symptoms are, quote, unusual, but mild. But that's not something to hang our hats on yet either. That could be because it is more young people so far hit with this variant in South Africa. Now, it's already all over the world. Identified in Canada, Germany, Belgium, Hong Kong, the United Kingdom. It's probably in the United States, says Dr. Anthony Fauci. So it's all, we've seen these containment measures basically punishing Southern Africa, and it's already all over the place. And that doesn't seem to be doing too much. But we do not yet know whether the symptoms will be more severe or more mild. Remember that in general, coronaviruses tend to get more transmissible and less severe over time, becoming a really spreadable cold. Can take years, as Dr. Vincent Racaniello told us. The real headline is not one that causes panic and clicks and stock market declines, which is the headline from Science from this weekend, which is called, very boringly, patience is crucial. Why we won't know for weeks how dangerous Omicron is. Now, one issue is that Omicron is rapidly replacing other variants in South Africa. So that's seen as a bad sign. It's always very quickly outcompeting other variants. Now, that's possible that it could be because it's more transmissible and or more serious. It could also be due to chance. It could also be due to skewed testing or a number of other things. We don't know yet. Omicron could evade vaccine immunity and natural antibodies. It could, and that would be terrible. However, the number of mutations alone don't actually tell us that. But the general view so far is that if you have been vaccinated or recovered naturally from a previous variant, you would likely have some protection against Omicron. We don't yet know how much. There might be a drop. It could be a bigger drop than with other variants. We don't know. Now, we got an update this morning from the WHO, and the WHO is being very clear about all the things we do not know. Quote, it is not yet clear whether Omicron is more transmissible. It is not yet clear whether infection with Omicron causes more severe disease compared to prior variants. Preliminary evidence suggests there may be an increased risk of reinfection with Omicron compared to other variants. We don't yet know. Same with vaccines. We don't yet know. That's the update as of just an hour ago. So in all seriousness, let's not ignore this. I am not saying don't worry about it, guys. Let's wait and see. And in the meantime, let's behave logically for the circumstances and facts that we know. Last thing, CEO Albert Bourla from Pfizer says Pfizer has already started to develop a new COVID vaccine tailored to the Omicron variant. Take a look at this.
When it comes to the vaccine, it remains to be seen. I don't think that the result will be the vaccines don't protect. I think the results could be, which we don't know yet, that the vaccines protect less, which means that if the vaccines protect less, it is that if we need to create a new vaccine. Already we started Friday. Friday we made our first DNA template, which is the first part of the manufacturing of the development process of a new vaccine. And we have made multiple times clear that we will be able to have a vaccine in less than 100 days. In fact, we have already two vaccines built in less than 100 days.
So, you know, we keep hearing this kind of 100-day number. Moderna has said something similar. So that's something that is being worked on. But let's go by what the data shows. And so far, what the data shows is there's three or four very important questions that we are asking and which need to be answered about this variant. We do not yet have those answers. And I think it's important that we not lose our minds until we actually do get those answers. If you think we should be panicking already, then let me know. But I think it's let's take it a step at a time. As many of you know, I always prefer to do. There has been speculation and questions as to whether Joe Biden will run for re-election in 2024. Now, you may know my position on this already. And my position on this is that I see a Joe Biden re-election as a very tough uphill battle. And I see a Kamala Harris replacement of Joe Biden as the Democratic nominee in 2024 as a very tough uphill battle. Now, sometimes people will write to me and they'll say, David, are you saying that so that people don't rest on their laurels and tune out? Or are you saying that? Are you overstating that? Or I'm not gaming anything. I am just giving my honest opinion, my genuine opinion. It doesn't mean I have someone I think would do. I have no There's no superstar right now in the Democratic Party that I love and I feel super inspired by. I don't have any better alternatives at this point to Biden and Harris. I'm just saying I see the reelection hill as a very steep one for both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. The White House has put out a statement saying Joe Biden intends to run in 2024. And this created so many headlines of people saying he's running. And I think you have to understand that there is one important word in this headline, and that word is intends. It is intends. And what one intends to do in 2021, 10 months into their presidency, can have absolutely no connection whatsoever to what one actually does in 2024. CNN summarizing the article saying the White House said on Monday that Joe Biden intends to run for re-election in 2024, following a recent report indicating that the commander in chief and staff are attempting to assuage concerns about his future political prospects. When White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked aboard Air Force One whether she could confirm if he was going to run in 2024 and whether he was telling staff that, she responded, yes, that's his intention. The Washington Post reported Biden and members of his inner circle have been telling allies he plans to run again and attempt to address concerns about whether he could commit to another presidential campaign given his age. A recent Quinnipiac poll showed Biden's approval rating sits at 36%. Now, very important to remember that if you actually look at the 538 Biden approval, it's actually not much changed from where it was. It's still at 43%, and it's been there basically going all the way back to a month ago. So although it is true that there is a Quinnipiac poll showing Biden at 36, on average, there's been no movement for a month, or maybe even like 5 or 6 weeks. That doesn't mean Biden's approval rating is particularly good right now. But the 36% number is very much an outlier. So this entire story is about the word intends. Intends can have a very different meaning if things change or if whatever happens. If you said today, David, sir, even money bet, no odds, just do you, if you, you all you have to bet on is does Biden run or does Biden not run? I would take the even money bet on Biden does not run for reelection. It's not by much. Right now, I would say I'm 55-45, maybe 60-40, that Joe Biden does not run for re-election in 2024. We don't know. I know people will write in and say, David, you're wrong. It's an odds prediction for which I marginally feel more confident that Biden doesn't run. It's not like a big claim. I'm not saying that it's a statement of fact. It's a statement of opinion because it's in the future. And I'm saying 55-45 or 60-40. I want to hear from you really about two questions. Question one is, and you can let me know on Twitter at Deep Hackman. Question one is, will he run? What do you think? Question two, maybe the more important question is, if he runs, what exactly is the path to reelection? Because I see it as very, very tough, particularly when the out party tends to have higher enthusiasm. We have this cult of Q/Trump, which is still very, very strong. And I think, a lot of the motivation for voting Biden in 2020 was to get rid of Donald Trump. That was a worthy motivation. That was my motivation, among other things. We had to get rid of Trump. With Trump gone, the early signs are it is tougher to get Democratic voters motivated. And so I am worried about Biden's path to victory in 2024. If he's the candidate, of course, if he's better than the alternative, we don't know who that will be yet. Might be Trump, might be someone else. I will say we've got to vote for Biden. Okay, I'm still as pragmatic as ever, but I'm curious to hear from you. Find me on Twitter at Deep Hackman. We'll take a quick break and continue getting caught up from the long holiday weekend right after this short break. I want to remind everybody that on December 14th, we've scheduled the next David Pakman Show viewer town hall. The first one was incredible. I think we had hundreds of people call in. We took close to, 100 different questions and comments from audience members. It will be 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on December 14th. It will stream live if you want to watch it on the Pac-Man Live YouTube channel. That's our second YouTube channel. You can find it at youtube.com/Pac-Man Live. Everybody's welcome to call in, but we will give priority on the call line to our website members. Grab a membership at joinpacman.com. Not only will you get priority on our town hall, you will also get a daily bonus show. You will get commercial-free audio and video streams of the show and so many other great things. So sign up today, joinpacman.com. So we talked at the beginning of the show. We had this crazy weekend, including the biggest stock decline of the year on Friday due to the fears and panic over the Omicron variant. As I already said, we don't yet know a long list of important things that we at some point will know about the Omicron variant. But needless to say, it caused panic and sell-offs in the stock markets. It also created an environment over the weekend on right-wing media for an even bigger scale up of COVID and vaccine disinformation. Now, you might be saying, well, hold on. How could there be more disinformation on COVID and on vaccines? They've been doing it for close to 2 years. It's still getting even worse. It continues to get worse and worse. And I'm going to go through a couple of these instances with you. And we'll talk about some of the points that are being made. Now, in the context of Omicron, Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace was interviewed on Fox News. And her idea was, hey, you know what? Maybe instead of vaccines, people should get sick with COVID because you are better protected. This is something they've been saying for a while. Take a listen to this and see if you can figure out why it's dangerously irresponsible.
And one of the things that the CDC has not done, and no policymaker at the federal level has done so far, is taken into account what natural immunity does. And that may be what we're seeing in Florida today. In some studies that I've read, natural immunity gives you 27 times more protection against future COVID infection than a vaccination. And so we need to take all of the science into account and not.
Now, she says 27 times. I haven't even been able to find a study that asserts that. I found one study that says recent recovery gives you 27% better protection than the vaccines, which are tailored to the original variants. The best is still recovery plus vaccine. And remember, the vaccine won't kill you, whereas getting COVID to end up with immunity might actually kill you.
Selectively choosing what science to follow when we are making policy decisions. And you're seeing, I believe, Governor DeSantis is, seeing the fruit of that labor today.
Okay. Yeah. DeSantis has actually done everything wrong on COVID. But again, even if it were true that you're more robustly immune by recovering rather than getting vaccinated, the process of recovering naturally can kill you at close to a 1% rate. Whereas what we know about the vaccines is there are three people who died from myocarditis after being vaccinated. It may have been related, and there have been hundreds of millions of people in the U.S. vaccinated already. So it's incredibly irresponsible to say for, she says it's 27X, even if it's 27%, that go through a process through which nearly 1% will die to get immunity rather than getting a shot. Very, very irresponsible. And then lastly, recovered or not, there's sort of like a game theory. There's an optimal solution to this, which is if you haven't recovered from the virus, you want to get the vaccine to develop immunity. If you have recovered from the virus, you get the vaccine and you get even better immunity. So either way, you get better immunity when vaccinated. Incredibly irresponsible and dangerous comments from Nancy Mace. Then we go to Donald Trump Jr. Donald Trump Jr. is saying two things which are crazy. One is that nobody's talking about the violent protests, riots, anti-vaccine around the world. That's wrong. I did an entire segment about it last week. It is being discussed. And number two, he seems to think that we should be having that here in the United States.
Go left. So you don't hear about these policies, you know? You don't hear about what's going on as it relates to the riots in Europe on a daily basis now against the vaccine mandates, because our media wants to block that out. They're going to make sure that you never hear about it because they don't want you getting these kind of ideas that freedom may actually still exist in some parts of the world. I mean, Europe is pushing back and America sitting there like sheep. Oh, you know, this is great. We'll just go along.
Think about what he's saying. He's saying riots are good. Remember, in other contexts, riots are bad and they can be used to justify shooting people, taking out guns, police being harsh with protesters, unless the rioters are Trumpists, in which case it wasn't a riot at all. It was Antifa and peaceful. But here he's saying there's riots going on in Europe against the vaccines, and those are good. And the media isn't telling Americans about them because Americans might realize, hey, we should do that here. And he says that would be a good thing. He thinks there should be riots. It would be good to have riots here in the U.S. Next, Lara Logan was on Fox News. And she, I mean, see if you can find the number of lies in this statement. And again, this is all the context is reporting about Omicron.
Failures. If you look at Sweden with no lockdowns and no vaccinations and look at the death rate there over time, what they're realizing is they can't just.
OK, so there are it's 9 seconds, guys. And she's lying to you three times. First of all, no lockdowns in Sweden. In Sweden, without making it policy of the state, you had the sort of sheltering or separation voluntary of the most vulnerable Swedes. That's number one. But it is true that bars stayed open. And OK, that is true. She says there's no vaccinations in Sweden. Sweden has more people vaccinated than the U.S. by percentage. Right. In the U.S., we're at 59% fully vaccinated. In Sweden, they're at 68% fully vaccinated. She's lying. She said no vaccines in Sweden. Reality, more vaccines in Sweden than in the United States. And she says, look at the death rate. The death rate in Sweden has started to creep up. And it's not looking good in Sweden anymore. It's a very strange idealization of Sweden based on lies. We'll get back to Lara Logan. Here's Stephen Miller, former Trump advisor, who says, you know, if Trump were in office, we would already have modified vaccines to deal with the new variants, which isn't true. I mean, just listen to what the pharmaceutical companies are telling us.
If President Trump was still in office, by the way, we'd already have modified vaccines to deal with the new variants, which is a great point. President Trump brought us vaccines in record times, which he made voluntary, not mandatory, and he'd have updates too.
Okay. There is no evidence whatsoever that we would already have modified vaccines for the variants at this time if Trump were president. And the most, you know, the funniest part of it is, I guess now vaccines are good again, right? When you can attach them to accomplishments of Trump or imaginary accomplishments of Trump, the vaccines are good. Other times they placate to the most radical anti-vax people on the Trump side. Here's an interesting one. Here's a Fox guest who the discussion is Omicron, and he is able to use this to talk about non-existent voter fraud in the last election. I don't know how they managed to do it, but they do.
At the benefit of COVID for the Democrat Party, they won the last election based on COVID. They were able to change election rules, so it made it far easier to cheat and potentially steal, you know, different portions of the electorate in the last election.
The election was stolen, just to be clear.
So hold on a second. Do I think there was cheating in my state of Wisconsin? Hell yes, there was cheating. Now, would it have changed the results? I don't know.
You don't know or you know?
Well, I didn't say it changed the election results. I said that there was cheating going on.
Can y'all fight about this in the break? I just stay on COVID.
He kind of just did. He said, I don't know if it would have changed the election results. And of course, there is no evidence that anecdotal, all the things that always happen when 160 million people vote would have changed the results in even a single county, never mind a single state. So taking the Omicron opportunity to talk about the big lie. And then this is completely off the rails. We're going back to Lara Logan, who has gone off the deep end politically. She tells a story about how there are hundreds of coronaviruses in bones, which is related to her having bone cancer, which isn't funny. But it's not even clear what argument she's trying to make, and basically saying don't even try to sequence variants. Like it's a crazy, crazy thing. And you can see the doctor on the right side of the screen starts to look a little bit confused.
Judge, if they
by the way, that doctor is the one who, I guess, talked to Trump about his cognitive test. He's a wacky doctor, and even he finds this nuts.
Testing for different strains of coronavirus. We're going to be locked down for the rest of our existence. I had cancer. My oncologist is a specialist in bone cancer. And he, you know, every oncologist who deals with bone cancer identifies hundreds of coronaviruses inside of our bones. They've created a problem that can never actually be solved. So they can justify whatever it is they want to do. And if you look around you, everything is falling apart. Even the vote audits are going ahead. Durham is moving ahead. Over time, people can see that the vaccines have nothing to do with Trump or left or right. Many black people don't want to get vaccinated. Okay. You cannot justify.
By the way, that's being repeated, but it is not black folks who have the lowest vaccination rate. It's Trump Republicans.
Losing 3,000 to 5,000 Border Patrol agents, 12,000 pilots, you know, for something that has the death rate of flu. And even if
and of course, it's not the death rate of flu. It's about six times that. Flu death rate is about 0.15. COVID death rate is somewhere between 0.7 and 0.8. So that's very much untrue.
This is lethal. Americans have the right under the Constitution to their civil liberties, and they can only be suspended temporarily. And for it to be lawful, this is not lawful.
Totally and completely bonkers. Now, the one thing that is true about coronaviruses and bones is that COVID can affect bone growth in people who have not reached their full size, so to speak, and can affect bone density. There are studies about that. So it seems getting COVID is potentially really bad for the bones. And we're still learning more about that. So how long is this stuff going to go on? Because at every time that there's something new with the pandemic, they go back to the same things. The vaccines are probably not so good. Guidelines are definitely bad. Trump would have done everything better. And somehow with some cases, it's let's go back to the voter fraud that they claim stole the election from Trump in 2020. It's the same playbook, just getting recycled over and over again, truly living in a fantasy world. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this next story, but I do want to mention that what were originally subtler attacks on Dr. Anthony Fauci, the head infectious disease doctor in the United States, when Trump was president, Trump started having disagreements with Dr. Anthony Fauci about all things COVID. And it started a little bit of like an underbelly of people online and others starting to attack Dr. Fauci. This has now gone fully mainstream within the Republican Party. Senator Rand Paul, one of the figures that has been very publicly attacking Dr. Fauci, and most recently, Senator Ted Cruz, remember Cancun Cruz? He now has said that Dr. Fauci should be prosecuted. Dr. Fauci was asked about this. I don't know if it's that the pandemic itself has him sick of all this nonsense. I don't know if it's, you know, he's an 80-year-old guy. Maybe he's close to retirement and he just doesn't care anymore. But he did not pull any punches here on Ted Cruz. And good for Dr. Fauci. Take a listen to this.
So anybody who spins lies and threatens and all that theater that goes on with some of the investigations and the congressional committees and the Rand Pauls and all that other nonsense, that's noise, Margaret. That's noise. I know what my job is.
Senator Cruz told the attorney general you should be prosecuted.
Yeah. I have to laugh at that. I should be prosecuted. What happened on January 6th, Senator?
Wow.
Do you think that this is about making you a scapegoat to deflect from President Trump?
Of course. You have to be asleep not to figure that one out.
Well, there are a lot of Republican senators taking aim at this.
That's okay. I'm just going to do my job. And I'm going to be saving lives, and they're going to be lying.
It seems another layer of danger to play politics around matters of life and death.
Right, exactly. And to me, that's unbelievably bad, because all I want to do is save people's lives. I mean, anybody who's looking at this carefully realizes that there's a distinct anti-science flavor to this. So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science.
Yeah. And, you know, there are people who are reacting to this by saying, oh, it's inappropriate. Imagine people caring now about what's appropriate. It's inappropriate for a medical official to criticize a senator. Well, is it appropriate for senators to attack a public health official all along, dating back to the Trump era, because what he said conflicted with the non-science blabber of Trump? because Trump wanted to make everything seem less serious. And if you listen to what Dr. Fauci was saying, you would have no other conclusion than, wow, if Dr. Fauci is saying this, this must be pretty serious. While Trump said our 15 cases are soon going to be zero, maybe one of the dumbest statements ever made by a president in history. Give me a break. Now they care about what's appropriate. So good for Dr. Fauci. Good for Dr. Fauci. You know, we don't know how long he's going to want to keep working at this point. He has been doing this for decades and is 80. And if I were him, I would be very sick of what's going on. But he seems determined to keep doing what he can to save lives. And of course, he should be commended for that. But the way in which people like Ted Cruz are attacking him is absolutely disgusting. And he is seems to be as sick of it as I would be, at least. We'll have more clips from this interview on our Instagram. You can find the David Pakman Show Instagram at David Pakman Show. Follow me on Instagram at David.Pakman. All right. So as we went into the long Thanksgiving weekend in the United States, Donald Trump gave an interview to Fox News propagandist Sean Hannity. And I think this interview is interesting because I'm worried there are already some people becoming desensitized to how horrible it was under Trump. Some people are already starting to forget and saying, I don't know, Biden's not super exciting. And was Trump really that bad? And it's very, very concerning. And what is notable about this interview is the degree to which Donald Trump's same old lies are being repeated but made even worse, and where his same terrible instincts are being escalated and blown up even further. Just look at this first clip. Trump with further lies about gas prices. 2 weeks ago, we looked at a different interview Trump did where he lied about gas prices to some degree. He's now lying even more and being even more deceptive about this issue. Take a listen to this.
A gas was at a gasoline, $1.83 or $1.86 when I left a gallon. And now it's at $7.70 in California, in different places in California. And it's heading that way everywhere. And it's going to go a lot higher than that. And we're asking OPEC.
Yeah. So as I told you 2 weeks ago, the real price when Trump when Trump left, was $2.20 a gallon, not $1.80 or $1.83 or $1.86 or $1.78. So the gas price was higher. When Trump now says, and it's $7.70 in California, again, I wasn't able to find any place where it was $7.70 in California. I've heard anecdotally that super premium sometimes is in certain places, $7 a gallon in California. Most people don't use super premium. The average price in California is actually $4.70. So Trump is lying. It's just lie upon lie upon lie. Trump then again went back to this thing about Mark Zuckerberg wanted goodies from him. We still haven't really figured out what that means, but Trump keeps saying it.
And you watch what happens. I think big things are going to happen, actually, Sean. But he would often come to the White House trying to get goodies. He didn't do too well.
You have.
So the context here is Zuckerberg is bad because Facebook banned Trump for regularly flouting and violating their terms of service. And Trump now says, on the one hand, they suppress my speech, but then Zuckerberg came to me asking for stuff. Now, is it possible that Zuckerberg went to Trump asking for stuff? Oh, I'm almost positive. I mean, I can't imagine anybody who runs a company that big who, given the opportunity to speak to a president, wouldn't try to lobby on the behalf of things that would be good for them. But that routine, it's all personal for Trump. It's all it's not about what is the best infrastructure for social media for the country. And what could I do in my meetings for Mark Zuckerberg to do good things? It's Zuckerberg banned me, but he asked me for stuff. It's all me, me, me. It's all personal. Trump then, now this is fascinating, he shifts an old talking point to now generally apply to supply chains. Check to see if you notice the talking point.
And we did a fantastic job in supplying our country. Every shelf was bare, every cupboard, I call them, the cupboards were bare for the different states. We did a great job. We got no recognition.
Now, you might remember that the cupboards were bare is a phrase Trump used to only apply to what he said was the bare cupboards of the military. Trump would say, I came in, Obama left the cupboards bare in the military. We had no weapons. He says, sir, they came to me. They said, sir, we got no ammunition. And then I got ammunition. Now, Trump is just generally applying the cupboards were bare to states, supply chain, products, whatever. It's the same talking point, now just applied to something different, and it's always been a lie. Then Trump starts to try to rewrite history. Trump raises the idea that the Capitol riots on January 6th, those weren't Trump supporters. That was Antifa.
But they go after people that in many cases, and not in all cases, but in many, many cases are patriots. And you had some bad people. And if you look at what happened at the Capitol, you had some bad people that were not patriots at all. And they came from other places, including Antifa and including others. And they led a lot of people astray. They don't want to cover that.
Yeah, I like how he says Antifa, Antifa. So the Trump is saying two things. His supporters, who are not criminals, they're patriots, aren't being treated well. And the truth that a lot of the rioters were Antifa is not being covered. And those people are not being prosecuted. There's no evidence for any of this. This is lies all the way down. I hope that you know that. Maybe the funniest moment from this interview is Trump says, finally, the Durham report is out. It's not. And Hannity goes, but it's not out. And it's just a delightfully confusing moment here on the Hannity show.
It's interesting. The Durham report, as far as, you know, it's come out. I wish it could have been a little earlier, but it's unbelievably complete. And I would imagine
it's not even out yet. But I want to ask you about that specifically.
But the foundations.
But we know the Steele dossier is debunked.
That's the best. Hannity doesn't know. Hannity says, but it's not even out. And Trump says, no, well, but the foundations are being built. It's just total confusion. And then maybe my favorite lie. That was the funniest moment. But my favorite lie is when Trump says he created the term fake news. Now I'm going to address
this. And I say it, and I don't want to say it much, but I say it, and I hope in the future I won't have to. They are the enemy of the people. And we could have a country that would be able to heal and get together, except the media foments it. They're so corrupt. And, you know, I came up with the term fake news a long time ago. I don't know if I'll get credit for that, but that's okay.
Well, you won't get credit for it because you didn't come up with the term. This is super interesting. The term fake news has been around a really, really long time, and it has a specific meaning. Like, the original fake news was Hillary Clinton birthing an alien baby or something like that. I'm not saying that's the first fake news story, but it referred to like tabloid fake news. Later, in the advent, after the advent of online news, fake news was used to refer to the same type of stuff, but online, just totally made up stories. Trump didn't invent the term fake news. What Trump pioneered was calling any reporting you don't like fake news. That's Trump's contribution. It's a very negative contribution. Then they go on to dementia and cognitive tests, and Sean Hannity still talking about Trump passing his dementia test.
You took that cognitive test. I asked Ronnie Jackson. You got 30 out of 30. Do you believe that Joe Biden is showing signs of being cognitively compromised? And should he take the test?
Look, all I can say is I know President Xi, I know Putin, I know Kim Jong-un, I know all the leaders of the world. I got to know them very well. Most of them I like, many of them I like, although tough cookies. They're all at the top of their game. We need somebody that's at the top of the game. And, you know, maybe it should be mandated that you take, like, cognitive tests or something.
Yes, we've been saying that for a long time, but the Montreal Cognitive Assessment would just be one layer. We would hopefully have more, actually. And that is what Trump seems very confused about. Maybe like cognitive tests or something. And then lastly, Trump says in reaction to the Waukesha tragedy, where this individual ran over multiple people, killing, I think the death toll is now tragically up to 6. Trump says there is good news there, which is the guy hated Trump.
The good news is he hated Trump, okay? He hated Trump based on early.
That's the good news, guys. The guy hated Trump. So you couldn't get an easier interview from Sean Hannity. And even Sean Hannity can't save Donald Trump from making a fool out of himself. Now, this is not only about criticizing things Donald Trump said. We are now going to talk about things Hillary Clinton said, which don't make a whole bunch of sense. They make a little sense, but not that much. Hillary Clinton, over the last week or so, has really been talking a lot about cryptocurrency. She's very concerned about cryptocurrency, and she stumbles across a whole bunch of things that make no sense and a couple that do. Now, I'm going to remind everybody my view on cryptocurrency. I'm not some big crypto maven, and I'm also not against it in principle. I believe that, like every other financial instrument, stocks, bonds, real estate, precious metals, foreign stock, you know, whatever. Cryptocurrency is a tool. There are some who say it's not really an asset class because it's gambling or whatever. Okay, listen, I mean, at this point, it seems pretty clear that at least for the foreseeable future, crypto is here to stay. I have said that my decision years ago was to get about 3 to 5% exposure to cryptocurrency because it's done so well. It keeps becoming a bigger and bigger portion of my assets, and I then sell it down and move into things that I consider to be less volatile. It's a tool like any other, and there are pros and cons like with everything else. Let's listen to the first clip here. This is from the Rachel Maddow Show, and listen very carefully to what Hillary Clinton says.
I want to mention one other thing that is on the horizon that people are only beginning to pay attention to, and that's the need to regulate the cryptocurrency markets. Because imagine the combination of social media, the algorithms that drive social media, the amassing of even larger sums of money through the control of certain cryptocurrency chains. We're looking at not only states such as China or Russia or others manipulating technology of all kinds to their advantage. We're looking at non-state actors, either in concert with states or on their own, destabilizing countries, destabilizing the dollar as the reserve currency. There are so many big questions that the Biden administration must address. I just don't think we have much time. And therefore, I hope from everything I'm hearing from them that that's exactly what they're going to try to do.
Now, there are little bits and pieces of reasonable stuff there mixed in with a lot of very strange claims. This was the second time in this short period of time that Hillary talked about cryptocurrencies. She also spoke remotely at a Bloomberg conference, and she had very similar comments to make. Take a listen.
And then one more area that I hope nation states start paying greater attention to is the rise of cryptocurrency. Because what looks like a very interesting and somewhat exotic effort to literally mine new coins in order to trade with them has the potential for undermining currencies, for undermining the role of the dollar as the reserve currency.
Okay, I'm going to pause it there. So first of all, she says you're literally mining coins. No, it's metaphorical mining. It's computers doing stuff. Literally mining is actually mining. Mining means mining. Here, what we're talking about is computers solving cryptographic problems, doing right. It's not literally mining, which is just weird. But at the end, there's something she mentioned twice, which is really what this is all about. The idea that cryptocurrency might challenge the status of the dollar as the reserve currency. Now, there's a lot of confusion in there. Hillary Clinton rightly identifies that, for example, there are ways in which countries could and can use cryptocurrency to circumvent economic sanctions. That's a legitimate problem. It's a completely legitimate problem, and there are proposed solutions to it, but that's a real problem. The backwards part is, the whole reason China doesn't want crypto is because they manipulate the yuan and they don't want something they can't control to become common. OK, and so then you've got this idea of the digital yuan, and it's a complete and total mess. But it's kind of the opposite. Like, China's trying to keep crypto out in order to not even have the yuan challenged. But she says, well, they're going to use Bitcoin or whatever mainline crypto to try to destabilize the U.S. dollar, which, number one, wouldn't be great for China because they hold so much U.S. debt. And number two, China actually seems to be going the other direction, which is just trying to ban crypto. And it's really an example of one of the top skills of being a politician, which is speaking really, really confidently about something you don't fully understand. She sounds like she knows what she's talking about, and she stumbles across some things that are real. But then there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there that really doesn't make sense. And it's actually sort of surprising that the handlers, of which she has many, did not put together kind of more coherent talking points. But maybe those are the talking points that they actually want. Now, the other thing is there's always this kind of alluding to cryptocurrency being used for crime. New report suggests about a third of 1% of crypto transactions are related to criminal activities. I don't think that's a very good argument against crypto in my mind. But I think it's something we hear frequently. But really what this is about is the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency. China holds a ton of it. Japan holds a ton of it, although you much more rarely hear Japan mentioned because they're not considered adversarial in the same way. But I think that, listen, how can I say this? It's increasingly seeming to me like crypto is here to stay. And seeing people blindly say it's bad and I want nothing to do with it, to me, seems more like digging one's head in the sand rather than saying, oh, this is now something that is going increasingly mainstream. Let me give myself a little bit of exposure to it. And that's not financial advice for anyone in particular. It's just the story and of what I did in my thought process in the 3 to 5% range for me. And let's see what happens as part of a diversified long-term approach to financial assets and tools. And at the end of the day, I see cryptocurrency as a tool, quite simply, end of story. Let me know your thoughts. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. All right, let's look at a couple of other things. This is one of the wackiest video clips I have seen in my entire time doing this show. This is a woman we've spoken about before. This is End Times preacher Sharon Gilbert. Now, Sharon Gilbert claims that an alien imitated her husband, tried to have sex with her. She figured out the alien was actually Xerxes, and somehow Jesus was a factor as well. And the alien was a reptile with gargoyles. Now, I'm going to play the clip for you. We're not laughing at mental illness. We're not joking about mental illness. It's not funny. My serious question is, isn't this very serious mental illness where you would say, are you being medicated? Are you under the care of a psychiatrist? Would there be, if this was not called Christianity, but just non-religious delusions, and it was your cousin doing this, wouldn't you say you should check yourself into an ER, maybe a psych hold? It's not a joke. Why do they get out of just saying, being told you're sick? Because it's under the guise of religion. Listen to this.
After Derek and I got married, one night, this other Derek appears in our bed. The real Derek is lying down next to me. Other Derek sits right up out of him. It startled me. I knew that was not Derek. And so I asked this critter, who are you?
Right.
Because he clearly wanted to have sexual relations.
What happened to, I have a headache, and you just leave it at that, you know? You're not the real Derek. You're an alien. I mean, or did this guy get caught masturbating by her and pretended to be an alien? I can't tell what the real story is here.
And I said, he said, come on, I'm your husband. I said, who are you? And he had the nerve to claim to be Ahasuerus, Xerxes.
Xerxes.
Well, other Derek seriously wanted to invite me to use my free will to do something that was going to pull me away from God.
By the way, notice that they are selling at the bottom of the screen the Great Delusion DVD bundle. It seems to be just, I wonder if it's just delusions like this one.
So this last time, I knew he was really desperate.
Yeah.
And I asked him again, who are you? He told me the same answer. And I said,
he was really desperate by now because the first time she said, you're not really Derek.
Not going with you. This was an internal dialogue. Finally, I said, I've had enough.
Yeah.
In my mind, I reached up. I grabbed his face and I said, you are a liar. And Jesus is real. And I pulled that face off.
Right.
And beneath it was a reptile.
Oof.
And he had little creatures with him this time. He brought these little halfling creatures, and they looked like, I don't know, gargoyles.
Guy's nodding, by the way. There's two guys sitting next to her, and if you're not watching, they're nodding to everything she's saying.
Very reptilian as well. So beneath that face of Derek was a reptilian serpentine creature, probably similar to what was visiting the Anasazi.
You know, I continue to believe, hey, honey, I'm really tired tonight is probably still more sensible. But again, if this is real and we're joking around about it, if this is really her belief, is this not a very, very sick individual? And you have to remember that there's a way, you know, they've created a layer of protection for themselves where they go, it's my religious belief. And many people, when they hear that, they go, oh, okay, let me just. And where is the line? Angels, demons, Xerxes reptile was actually in the body of my husband trying to have sex with me. Where is the line where we say, lady, this is bonkers. We got to have you evaluated. You tell me. You tell me where that line is. Okay, one more tour through the evangelical televangelist insanity throughout the pandemic. Televangelist Kenneth Copeland has been coming up with all sorts of bizarre rants and raves about curing the pandemic this way, the vaccines are bad, you know, all these different things. This is a very weird clip where he screams in order to kill the virus in his colon. He's talking about the flu virus. When you say in the colon, are we talking about viral gastroenteritis? It doesn't seem like it. Take a look at this. And by the way, at the bottom of the screen, if you need him to pray for you, there's a number you can call.
I'm going to help you here with something.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Flu virus. Die. In my colon. You die now.
Now, if Saturday Night Live, which I don't really find funny anymore, was going to parody this, how could they do it? He's actually up there saying, die in my colon. And the congregation repeats, die in my colon. How do you make a joke? How do you satirize that? It's impossible. And the important message here is that we should all remember Kenneth Copeland's entire grift is tax exempt because it's a church. His $6+ million house where he lives with his wife, Gloria, is exempt from property taxes. How? Well, it's listed as a parsonage. A parsonage is a church house provided for a member of the clergy. Sometimes, you know, like the old Catholic church down the street has a parsonage, and it's often sort of like a very modest apartment of some kind. His $6 million house is tax exempt from real estate taxes because it's a parsonage. He tried to get tax exempt status for his private jet. That was denied, but he still has a private jet. It's just not tax exempt. And taxing churches would generate about $71 billion per year if the United States were to do that. So that's Kenneth Copeland. If you said behind the scenes, hey, I'm going to look at how sheep. How much of a group of flock of sheep I have out there. I'm going to go out there and say, die in my colon, and they're all going to chant it with me. It seems like a joke. It seems like a joke, but it's unfortunately very, very real. We have a voicemail number, and that number is 219-2-DAVID-P. As many of you know, I've been saying since the start of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, I believe not guilty will be the verdicts. And I got a very strange voicemail over the weekend saying that I was so wrong about the case that I should expect to be sued by whom I don't know. But take a listen to this.
Hey, Pac Boy, I was just wanted to let you know that you were wrong about Rittenhouse after all. And I bet you're ready for the lawsuits that are coming up. Also, those polls that are showing Trump beating Biden are not bogus. They are true because Biden is just as dumb as you are. Bye.
This is a weird voicemail because the caller seems to think I've said the opposite of what I've said. I've said since the start of the trial, I expect not guilty based on Wisconsin law and the evidence. And that's what we got. I don't know who would sue me or for what. And I didn't say that the polls showing Trump beating Biden are bogus. I said the pollster is not a historically reliable pollster, Rasmussen. But I also said I think the general message that in a rematch of 2020 and 2024, Trump wins is accurate. So as usual, criticize me for things I've said. Is that too much to ask? Not for things you imagine I said, or you heard on some other channel, or you wish I had said, or you misheard I said. Criticize me for things I've said, guys, please. We've got a great bonus show for you today. I will tell my Thanksgiving stories. Producer Pat will tell his Thanksgiving stories. I expect his will be more interesting because he was in Colombia, not Columbia University. The country, Colombia, where, you know, our caller, Pedro from Colombia, where he's supposedly from. So Pat will tell us those stories. We're also going to talk about this latest attempt where conservatives, they want to get books banned. And the way they do it is they organize to attack specific libraries in the United States, not physically attack, to start sending in mass communication, demanding certain books be removed to make it seem like, wow, grassroots effort from parents here to remove certain books. This is the next sort of battle line in the continued culture war, which is activating to get certain books banned from American libraries. We'll tell you who's doing it, where it's being done, et cetera, et cetera. Sign up right now at joinpacman.com to get access to the world's famous bonus show. We will see you then. It's
DJ Haim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.
CT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-song word.
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
WRCT, in sound, from way out.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh. 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh,
from New York, this is Democracy Now!
Out with the death squads. Out with corruption. Out with drug trafficking and organized crime. No more poverty and misery. To victory. The people will always be united. Together, we are going to transform this country.
In Honduras, leftist candidate Xiomara Castro appears poised to become the country's first female president, putting an end to over a decade of right-wing rule. Castro's apparent victory comes 12 years after a U.S.-backed coup deposed her husband, President Mel Zelaya. We'll go to Honduras for the latest. Then NATO foreign ministers meet in Latvia as tension escalates between Russia and Ukraine as war on the horizon. And we look at how Wet'suwet'en land defenders are continuing to fight the Coastal GasLink pipeline despite Canada's militarized crackdown.
Can we roll you under arrest?
Don't touch me.
Don't touch her.
Get your hands off her.
You're under arrest.
Get your hands off of her.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The World Health Organization's warning the Omicron coronavirus variant poses a very high risk to nations and could set off new waves of infections, especially in areas with low vaccination rates. On Monday, World Health Organization Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus thanked leaders in Southern Africa for sounding the alarm over the new variant and called for a global treaty to prevent, prepare for, and respond to future pandemics.
South Africa and Botswana should be thanked for detecting, sequencing, and reporting this variant, not penalized. Indeed, Omicron demonstrates just why the world needs a new accord on pandemics. Our current system disincentivizes countries from alerting others to threats that will inevitably land on their shores.
The World Health Organization has criticized travel bans against Southern Africa. On Monday, more than 2 million nurses from 28 countries filed a complaint with the United Nations demanding an investigation into wealthy countries that have blocked a proposed patent waiver for COVID-19 vaccines. The nurses accused the governments of protecting the profits of big pharmaceutical companies at the expense of public health. Meanwhile, Chinese President Xi Jinping has pledged to deliver 1 billion doses of COVID-19 vaccines to Africa, on top of the nearly 200 million doses China has already supplied. Only about 10% of Africans have received one vaccine dose, compared with 64% in North America. here in the U.S., the Centers for Disease Control has strengthened its recommendations to say all U.S. adults should get a vaccine booster shot. Meanwhile, Pfizer said it'll ask regulators this week to approve booster shots for 16 and 17-year-olds. At the White House, President Biden said the Omicron variant has cause for concern, not panic. He said the White House would work with drug companies to reformulate vaccines to be more effective against the Omicron variant. So that